Yeah, welcome to Coffee and Cannabis. I'm your host Eliza, and this is
Corey. What up?
And today we have Corey. You want to do the intro?
I'll switching it up for me.
Yeah,
Jasmine Johnson, CEO and founder of Green Essence Florida, my homegirl. Yeah, clap it up. All that.
What's going on, y'all? What's going on? Thank y'all for having me.
Of course.
Wonderful. Appreciate you coming up.
And you screaming in the green.
Always.
I love it, Queen.
Always in green.
I gotta keep motivating.
Yes. So we, drinking this good bodega special. Yeah. Shout out to K1 on the corner, Palisades and Congress.
Corey, what we smoking?
Smoking that wedding cake.
Okay.
That good.
All right. So. About to get me buzzing. So, Miss, thank you for joining us all the way from the great state of Florida.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you both for having me. I'm excited to talk about this journey.
Yeah. Shout out to Dade County 305.
Yeah.
Take it to the house.
Yeah.
So coming all the way from Miami, and this is original Florida, right? We have to make that statement because Florida has a lot of
transplants.
Yes.
But you're born and bred in Florida.
Born and bred. My parents born and bred.
Yeah.
I'm a real Florida native, real Miami, Dade County born and bred from the South 305 down south. Okay.
Right. So obviously it's Green Essence Florida.
Yeah.
What got you there? What dared you to try to start your own cannabis company in Florida of all places, which definitely had the good old boys network on them licenses?
Hold on. Before you get into this, I feel like we need to set a little bit of the stage of what Florida looks like.
Yeah.
It's a very different type of landscape that now that we see a lot of states flipping and going rec and starting to do open applications, right? A lot of them don't have caps.
Yeah.
A lot of them have social equity programs. There's a lot of things that are tied to them. Can you guys real quick just give them a brief on what that landscape looks like?
Sure. Well, first we got to start off on like the political climate. Florida is a very conservative state, so it's important to understand that the way we constructed the cannabis program there represents through and through our conservative views, as well as, we're obviously in a state where we bring in a lot of revenue. And so you can see that the way the licensing was put is whoever was at the table to create the rules obviously did it to create some significant value behind these licenses. So we're structured in a way that our license are extremely valuable because they are rare. Mm-hmm. They're only 24 in the state now.
And they're not capped on retail.
And they're not capped on retail, not capped on cultivation. There are no caps under this vertical.
So what does that mean? There's 23 companies that can put as many retail shops as they want?
Correct. Yeah. Imagine 24 people in a room. And these 24 people have the ability to open as many dispensaries as they want in the state of Florida and produce as much cannabis as they need to.
They open dispensaries like Wawa down there.
Yeah.
Listen, having 50 dispensaries in Florida makes you one of the small guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, Trulieve is what?
100 and I think 26 locations.
And this is still in a medical market, though.
And we are the second largest market behind California, and we're only dealing with medical right now.
Yeah, people have to understand that, one, Florida, the last vote, when they didn't flip over to rec, they barely lost.
We were already over 60%. We had the majority of the state, but it wasn't, I think it had to be 67%.
Mm. Yeah.
2/3 of the vote, and it was over. It was over, well over 50, well over 60, but it wasn't like the 67.
Yeah, so it barely missed it. The vote's coming up again pretty soon.
Yeah, 2024 ballot,
yeah,
right?
Next year.
Yeah, shout out to Trulieve. They put 25 million, well, now 35 million behind this ballot initiative.
Yeah. So, and it's basically the woman that owns Trulieve is the one that realized the loophole where there is no retail cap. They originally thought it was 25.
Yep.
She got her lawyers on it, and then that blew it wide open.
They cut down a lot of trees. You know, you have to admit that the first five licensees that were awarded, which kind of goes into our story, how this all formed and how it all happened. I can get into that if y'all.
Go ahead. Yeah. So how we get to Green Essence? Yeah.
So how we get to Green Essence? I think I got to talk a little bit about our background. My family, we're a real estate based family in the only time we ever stepped out of real estate was to open a jazz and blues club. And so when we would open this jazz and blues restaurant downtown Miami, it would open doors to a lot of people that otherwise, of us having this restaurant, we would have not bumped into. I mean, we had all like significant players coming through our restaurant, from lobbyists to elected officials and to mentors that would then help shape my thinking, shape the experiences and the things around me. And so one of them being Norbert Seals. He was like...
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Norbert Seals. He was the like king of government relations in Florida. If you wanted to bring big business to Florida, you called him, and next thing you know, your company got whatever bid it was trying to get. And so he would come into our restaurant. Now, he's Bahamian. He'd be like, this black owned, this marble, this granite, this black owned. And so he would bring us, like, the Harvard Alumni Association.
That's great.
We would have all kind of events. And so when we closed the restaurant, Norbert would be like, oh, I'm not. He'd call me. He'd say, wait, what happened? I'm like, it's some Miami shit. Some Miami stuff. Okay, cool beans. He'd be like, so, yes, you know. So I say, oh, he'd say, well, come on. I need you to come on with my team. So now I would get a chance to roll with him, you know, when these people fly in. So I need to talk to all of these elected officials. You know, I'd be just pretty much there helping to be the hospitality person to make sure everybody's comfortable. And we're getting here and here and then the logistics. And so cannabis would come up in Florida. Mm-hmm. And when cannabis came up, this would be shortly after the first applications were awarded.
Mm-hmm.
And so Norbert began preparing a blueprint on for the next application period. And so this would probably be, I think, 2016, 2017. I'm just there as Norbert's, like, assistant, mentee. And so I would ask him, I would say, hey, do you think my parents can get involved? Can they invest? He was like, whatever you say. What? Go, sure, let's bring them on in. So at this point, my parents would have been, like, the third investor. I would have just more so been, like, a project coordinator and assistant to Norbert. And we would have began our journey. At that time, Florida required you to have a nursery license for over 30 years, which is what eliminated a lot of black farmers from being able to participate. You had to have a registered growing nursery. Like a nursery to grow trees.
Plants, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. A regular
for 30 years.
Yeah.
It's that was the qualifier? Initial.
That's how you automatically made it the Good Old Boys Network. That's why the joke was like, oh, we made it. Anyone could do it. And it's like, yeah, but you have to have owned a business for 30 years to get it, which basically means black and brown folks was never going to get it.
No, we were just planting and picking. We weren't owning nurseries. But yeah. Even at this, wow. Though, this is how badass Norbert was. He had one.
Mm-hmm.
We had a Jamaican American. He had his nursery at this time 29 years. So we were like, perfect. We're about to hit the 30 year mark.
You found one?
Yeah, Norbert found one. Oh, when I tell you Norbert, it
big
was
big Norbert.
Big Norbert.
Yeah.
He would find one. He had over 60 acres, tropical plants. He serviced major contracts around the world. And so, boom, now we have our 30 years. We have all of this acreage. We down in Miami. So we got Miami land, you know, got the water, got the power. We Gucci. We would also have, at that time, the medical director would have been a pediatrician, but that was doing research in the cannabis space. So we were like, okay, he had his cannabis clinic. So I didn't know at the time he was actually treating Norbert for his ailment that he was going through. So this whole time, I wouldn't know Norbert was facing illness and, like, because outside of him losing weight, which I thought was maybe, you know, I don't know, diabetes or something. I didn't think it was anything significant until things got really bad. But I would find out once Norbert passed that this original medical director that we had was also treating Norbert. So he would pretty much have the blueprint. And when I say my parents were third, we had the only black casino license holder in the nation at the time as the lead investor, but then it would turn out he was on like playing four or five different teams. Yeah. But I picked it up, but it was like, you know, wasn't my place to say, but I was like, some team, you know, and it would only be fitting because he's the casino guy. He playing multiple bets.
Yeah.
And we were also behind a senator, a big time senator. Here are my parents, third position. That would be 6 years ago. And we would hope every year, hey, the application's going to come out any day now, any month now. year two, you know, year three, the casino guy falls off, the senator falls off, the medical director decides to go with a tech startup, the nursery guy sells half of his
land.
Time just...
Yeah, it's patience. Cannabis is a long game.
It's a long game.
Let's date this. So 2017?
This would be 2017, about 2 years, almost going into year number three. I did start to see now as we get to 2018, Norbert is not physically the same. Like, he's lost, like, a lot of weight at this point. But we're still doing political events, fundraisers, you know. So I'm thinking whatever it is, maybe just a change in diet, you know. I'm still in, that was Norbert. He never, ever gave off, like, I'm tired of, like, to the end, he was, trying to give it to the best of his ability. So now we'd be 2019, and Norbert is now kind of in the hospital and just bedridden. So I would go and check his mail, bring his mail to the hospital, and then it became where now I had to coordinate through his wife because, you know, he couldn't really text, and I still didn't want to face the reality that, you know, I'm just thinking, you know, he's maybe got to change up the medication, and, you know, I'm like, the last thing on my mind is, like, Norbert, because he said this was going to change our lives. So last thing I'm thinking is he's not going to be able to see the change. And so June, I would ask his wife, I'm like, oh, you know, I'm getting ready to go out of town, but I like to see Norbert before I go. And she's like, oh, he's not feeling well, but when you get back, you know, we'll coordinate. The next day he passed. And so I would be in Mexico, and it was kind of like one of those moments because everything felt like, okay, this is Norbert. This is a sign from Norbert. This is a sign. Like, I went through so much of that because, again, like, my whole perception of big business, government contracts, none of that existed until Norbert showed me what it looked like internally. Doing these fundraisers, like, you know, joining the boards, being on these...
pounding the pavement.
Yeah, like, what he... And I saw it firsthand, cause and effect, when a phone call came in to actually getting the deal done and signed. He exposed me to the power of connectivity amongst groups and peers and the camaraderie and shit, putting that feet to the pavement, especially with the elected officials. And so when we started early in the cannabis, he's like, you know, Jasmine, this is the life. This go change our lives. And when he was talking about the kind of money the license could generate, the value, like, we're talking about at the time, these things going for $65 million, mm-hmm. $100 million deals. This go change our lives.
Just for the license.
Just for the piece of paper. Nothing attached
not
to it.
Not a store open, nothing.
A piece of paper in Florida in the time frame she's talking about. You're talking about the third biggest state in the nation, the strongest medical program in the nation. Now, because at the point that California goes rec, you take that out of it. Like, Florida's had the strongest medical, you know, market. Like, everyone's watching Florida still to this day because it's still
licensed. And at least 20. I mean, it was five. It was only five licenses that were awarded during that first round of applicants, mm-hmm. and the 17 that came after was by lawsuit. And that's why the state paused for this 6-year time frame, because it was lawsuit after lawsuit, and every lawsuit challenged the way the regulatory environment was structured. So how can they release new applications if all parts of it is being challenged?
Yeah.
So until every challenge was now decided in court, everybody got what they wanted, we're now here at 22. 22 awarded, and then now the black farmers Pickford case comes up, which is where that 30-year rule was challenged. You've specifically excluded a group of people by creating this metric to be a qualifier. Because you know historically, especially in Florida, right, which had one of the biggest KKK or like groups, like we all know we all understand historically kind of how that's impacted us, and that's why they were justified, that's why it won, and that's why now two more.
It was basically cannabis redlining.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Absolutely. And now we have two more. So that's what brought us up to 24. So this whole time, the original law was written, every 100,000 patients, the state will issue 4 licenses. So that's how we got to this new 22 set. Outside of the license that were won through litigation, the 17, almost like they don't count those, the law was written every 100,000 patients, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4. So here we are at this 22 number. I was faced with a decision once Norbert passed, and I was in Mexico and had the time. Now, I can't just leave the island if I off. Plus, his funeral wasn't until I would be back by the time the funeral came. And so I just really had that meeting with myself, me, myself, and I. do we take this blueprint and do we continue the mission, or does the dream die with Norbert? And I took the time while I was there. I reflected about everything that I have come to learn and come to experience, and I felt as though I had enough to continue. I didn't know what continue meant. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what I was signing up for. I didn't know how long it was going to be. I didn't think, here's where the imposter syndrome, but I didn't think I had any of the qualifications. I didn't think, I was just the project coordinator. I was the assistant to the assistant. I don't even know if I had a real role, to be honest. I didn't get paid, so I don't know what even. I was the volunteer of the application. And so I picked up the baton, and so when I got back, I was going to speak. I had a whole thing written out, but of course I'm so terrified of public speaking, so I just went to the funeral and I didn't say anything. I did make the promise to just continue and just take it all the way down the road, and here we are. So at this point, once Norbert passed, anybody who was left has now been, it's anyone who was left at that point, senator, casino person, the former now is gone at this point. He only had half, and then now he's just like, we're just gonna, good luck. Good luck. And
6 years is a long time.
Yeah, it's a long.
Yeah, people are like, that girl, keep saying next year.
And I respected it. At the end of the day, hearing bad news over and over again definitely starts to build your back, build your shoulders. Now you can take that punch in your chest and be like, oh, that's all you got? I got to have my shit knocked. Oh, that's it? So here we are now. Each part that fell apart, I brought in a new person. So where we had a medical director that was a pediatrician, I now would have found our medical director, black this time, not white, black neurosurgeon, doing over 3 decades of R&D in cannabis, has 5 licenses in Jamaica, of which they're importing these strains from Jamaica through his wife, who's doing the research, because she's the DEA approved to move all of this for research purposes. And it ended up being, and then, of course, who also came with them was our now master geneticist, who wrote part of the regulatory environment for Jamaica. So we're talking about all type of strains, because they tried to suppress Jamaica a lot by putting them on the map kind of towards the end of things. Jamaica should have been like a global dominator of cannabis, especially with some of the strains that exist there. But it has been happening. It's now that through licensing, we can start to see it on more of a global perspective. But I was able to bring them into the fold as the core of Green Essence. So when it says, what is our direction in terms of medicinally, they are focused on sickle cell, diabetes. They've been doing clinical trials in the space for decades and collaborating with other doctors around the world as well. So now we have that in our bubble. We also would have brought in our security director. We would have brought in pretty much on the nursery side. We found a black family, 6th generation citrus farmers, with thousands of acres of land. And they would have come in as our, partner that represented the nursery experience.
Are they 30 years?
Oh, yeah, they're 6 generations. Oh, they're, okay. They're like, oh, a couple, yeah, hundred. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
I'm like, did they meet the qualification?
Oh, yeah, but that's, Florida actually ended up getting rid of that qualification because of the lawsuit.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay, so now that's it.
Yeah, that's now done. You just have to have a company that's 5 years old. And we've always had plenty of companies, as we talked about, from real estate. So that part wasn't an issue. But every part that would have fallen off, it came back 20 times better. And so all week, now we're still at the waiting game, the mercy of the waiting game. We got our hands and face just pressed against this glass door, like, you'll let us in today? Okay, not today. So I'm still back at the mercy of that. And so COVID will now start to come about. And we think in our mind, well, maybe the prices of one of these bad boy licenses got to go down. So at that time, we would have said, we wait. You know what? We're going to see if we can raise capital and we can buy one of these bad boys.
This is also around the time I met you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We had met digitally before that through the good brothers, Brennan and Stan.
Oh, yeah.
But then COVID, I was just like, screw it. We took a family trip, got an Airbnb in Fort Lauderdale.
Yep.
And then I had breakfast with you and your mom.
Yep.
On the water. So, no, that was a good time.
Yeah, and we would talk about saying we're shifting and, you know, we want to try to raise capital. And then Corey would introduce me to some folks that, you know, thought might have assisted us with getting these objectives done. And we set our journey up and we went out here to raise capital. And in that process, I would have first started with this, Wall Street banking firm, Opus, and, for $100,000, they were going to raise the capital for us. And so we would obviously draw up agreements and pay this company $100,000. A year would go by. And they did not raise any capital. But we did get $65,000 back from that company, which we were so pissed because we were like, we had a refund policy and it was supposed to be all the money. But given that we didn't want to go to court over it, we just settled for the $65K. And so, okay, we thought we learned our lesson. We thought we learned our lesson. We thought we learned our lesson. Only for less than 30 days later for us to be introduced to so we thought our difference this time, just what lesson did we think we learned? We're not walking with anybody who already don't have the money. That was the lesson we thought we were going to learn here.
Don't raise the capital, have the capital.
Yeah. Why are we even, like, why am I giving you $100,000 to go out here? No. Unless you've done it before, proven, do a lot more due diligence, research. But, you know, here they were representing, oh, 99% of everything we've done, we've funded it. We bring you on as a client, yada, yada, yada. All of those great, spectacular words and all of that. So this time I would be introduced, because now I'm having very pointed conversations. There's only a handful of people as we're talking about raising hundreds of millions of dollars. We're not talking about any, you know, Joe Blow. So at this point, the new conversations I'm having, do you have this money? Can you send proof of funds? And I'm like, just straight up. Mm-hmm. So calls and calls later, I'm put on the phone with this guy, Cameron Colvin, and I'm straight to the point.
Hold on. Before you get into that, we need to talk about how much money you were trying to raise.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. That is an important question. So I've always felt it was so many more segments that needed to be entered outside of just the licensing through Florida. I knew Florida was the stronghold to bring the value to everything we wanted to do, because immediately once you have that license, you have incredible value. But I was like, there are so many segments missing, especially, for example, the spa and treatment center, the HelloFresh model. And so when we put our full raise and use of funds, it included not only going after an operation in Florida, which we were looking at all scales, from finding just a piece of paper for $60 million to operations with 26 dispensaries that wanted like $195 million, but then also building up these other first-to-market operations, such as doing a spa and treatment center concept or launching like a HelloFresh model. So with that said, by the time we broke down our entire use of funds to the detail, it was like $300 million. So
$300 million to make a spa and treatment center. So basically like two entertainment style businesses and then basically an MSO.
Correct.
You were going to buy an MSO with multiple locations.
With multiple locations, we were also looking at acquiring a license in New Jersey, like a vertical, multiple license in New Jersey, Vegas. So that package included basically purchasing several operating companies, which was also why reaching out to Corey, I'm like, no, I need some people who have kind of already done this. And he recommended some people who had already
worked in the space.
So we, now that I have some help with people who've already worked in state space, so I got my right and my left hand, got some white people. We look like, hey, we raised this capital. We can go acquire.
Listen, you need some white people when you start asking people for $300 million.
Exactly. And that's some seasoned white people with some salt and pepper in their hair. Yeah, you know, yeah.
Some you need some white folks.
So we had our trusty white people.
Hold on.
And
So, all right, you're carrying out Norbit's mission, but we're talking about this process, and Corey and I are bitch all day about how painful this is of what we're doing. And it's one dispensary for $1 to $3 million. We're talking about multiple dispensaries. You went from how am I going to carry out this mission to I'm going to become the most powerful thing in Florida in cannabis, powerful black woman.
You'd be the most powerful minority owned in the country.
Yes.
I never really thought about it that way. I've always had an approach to any business model I've been behind as the pie has to be big enough where you can bring a friend, take it to Go Plate, and come back the next day. So if we can't have, you know, it create something so small that everybody is scraping and fighting each other for it, but big enough where, as you all have brands in other cities, if we want to bring it to Florida, we can bring it to Florida because we just can collaborate. And it makes sense. No matter which way you slice it, it's going to make sense because it's such a huge pot with Florida. That's why most of the public companies have a stake in Florida. In cannabis, most of them. I think every last one has a stake in Florida.
That's true.
Or they got their eye on it.
Or yeah. They have their eye on it.
Somebody, yeah.
So
I love a big dream. I love, like, everything big. Like, fuck it. Just go for the gusto. So... What? $300 million, and obviously you're meeting the right people, you're in the right room, so it's not like this is far-fetched to be able to accomplish.
It's actually not a pipe dream in this case.
Yeah.
And the reality is the Florida market dictates that size of a business, right? You can't go to Florida and be like, I'm open a dispensary. That's not Florida. Like, the way the Florida market is, the size of the state, the amount of licenses, licenses from a medical patient standpoint, and only 22 actual licenses to service it. It dictates that every license has to be done at a different kind of scale.
Yeah, ain't no half stepping in Florida.
Yeah, you
either go hard or go home. Yeah. Which Florida does bring that about. I realize as I've traveled, you know, I've had to kind of soften a few things because coming from Florida, you have a grit. Which is, I won't say it like it's as forward as you get from New Yorkers that will express themselves and get that. Florida has it where since you've gotten the beat up, it's in you, but you know you still have to come off with like the...
A little Southern charm.
But we've been, it's a constant fight in Florida. It's a constant fight in every front as a black female.
Yep.
Anything.
Young.
Yep.
You get it from all kind of ways, people taking advantage. And so that would go into, here we are, we have a hell of a plan. It's not, the plan was solid. The team is solid. It is the capital, which is everybody's struggle. How do we get this capital? So here we are, we think we've narrowed it down to people. And now I'm on the phone because I've been talking to a lot of people flying to a lot of states. So how I end up meeting this Cameron guy.
His name is Cameron Colvin. He's a former NFL player who calls himself an international real estate developer.
Was just through people who just pretty much pushing and advocating for me to try to get this. Like you say, I know somebody who knows somebody that's making these deals happen. I'll take the phone call. I'll take the flight. At the time I had the Prius, I would drive the Prius. Like, you never know what's under what carpet. So I take it, and that's why, you know, as an entrepreneur, you steady broke because I'm whatever money I got, I'm taking it, I'm putting it into finding out and opening the door. Even when I met Brendan and Stanley, like, that was COVID. That was Clubhouse.
Yeah.
And once on Clubhouse, they seemed like they were about their life. I need to look at you in your eyeball. And we looked at each other eyeballs, and I was like, y'all cool. They were like, yeah, sis, you cool too. And then boom, meet Court.
And then yeah, Brennan like, yo, you gotta meet this chick Jasmine. So I hit her up. Yo, what's good?
Yeah, so that's it. We're brunching. Eyeball to eyeball. Like, that is one thing I can appreciate about the journey. Like, all of the eyeballs that I have seen, and it's so inspiring getting out of Florida because it's nobody in Florida that I can like sit down and like see where I want to be. And so when I come to another state and I see people being awarded the license, I see you building out your dispensary, it's like, fuck, I can feel the energy, and it gives me the push to just keep going because Florida is just me looking through a glass window. So here we are raising this capital. I get put on the phone with this Cameron guy, and I'm like, you know, with all due respect, I'm going to need you to send proof of funds because we know we're talking about a certain number, and I'm not saying for
proof. Can't waste no time.
Can't waste no time. On the call, he was like, what's your email? He sent me proof of funds right there. Charles Schwab is one of the accounts. Earlier that year, they had over $500 million. He said, this is funds we closed on earlier this year for a commercial real estate project. You know, so we would do something similar for the cannabis. He's like, I was looking to get into the cannabis space in a major way.
Are you dabbling in the cannabis industry? I know that there was some interest there on your part.
Yeah.
I own a dispensary in Arizona, but I was looking to make a significant stamp, and I think you got the plan.
Part.
Yes, not in the cannabis stocks, but we do hold some shares in, you know, cannabis companies out west.
That supports the kind of impression I want to do in the space. So I'm like, bet. So from there, I'm like, here's this NDA. We sign that, and I shoot them a link. My shit already ready. Like, what? Google Drive folder, file cabinet, everything you need, because we wanted to buy something that already existed. So I was already pulling their financials. I had all of their shit, their accounting, their taxes, the bills, the payroll, very well organized. Mm. So he would say, you got your shit ready, where it takes people weeks to package their shit and get it over. No, we ready. It's organized. Here are my two white people. And he had his two white people. So... No, for real. Like, he had his two white people.
I had meet him with that. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember. Okay. He had his, and they were older, 70. I had my white people were in their 50s. His white people were in their 70s. And so I was like, bet. You know, he a young black man, like 37 years old. Like, I'm okay, football player. You look him up online. Everything looked, I mean, he on Instagram with a $200 million check. To United Way. And now my brother pointed out, like, he could have just got out of his car and found a white man and told the white man to stand next to him in front of a United Way building, because we would find out all of that shit was fake, the private jets, the cars. But it was the website and the people that he claimed worked for him. When I tell you, like, I went through all the Google searches, I saw the court cases, but when you're at a certain level, you will get sued. I mean, we're in real estate and property management. We get sued. You'll find lawsuits. And so I was like, if you can be sued for $7 million, that means there was much more that had to be on the other side of it. Money there in the first place.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So true. I didn't look at it as, you know, bad things when I saw certain lawsuits. He's a young brother, so I want to give him a chance. If we really raise this type of capital for this type of mission, and it's all blackety black, 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 I want to see it through.
Yes.
And that was what killed me. No matter how much you want to see something through, you got to see it for what it is. Boom. That was probably the biggest lesson I got out of it this time. So here we are. I got the proof of funds. I got to see you eyeball to eyeball. Me and my mama, we jump on that flight. We coming. Here we are, Arizona. Scottsdale, Arizona. We come check out where your office at.
Find Colvin at his business address in Scottsdale. There was a notice on the door for not paying over $270,000 in rent. Through his representatives, Colvin agreed to a sit-down interview with me this week, but canceled the day before.
I should have peeped. There was no paperwork. There were no filing cabinets. I got a property manager. You come, you go see years of history of my tenants. You go see receipt books. You go to see a old maintenance man. You go to see some appliances. If you got, I could take you to our properties. You go see here. Here's the deed. There was no file cabinets. That should have been a sign. There were no computers. No,
was it the same one from that meeting?
This is the same.
That was nice looking though. It was sharp. It was clean.
No, it had the office right behind Grant Cordone, right beneath Grant Cordone. But that also should have been a sign.
It was nice.
They had that good real estate right there, center Scottsdale. And so, again, I'm like, you know what? Maybe he just moved into the office. And he got his grass wall, a breathable wall. He cares about the environment. You know, you try to justify the obvious, like, you know, and then I remember he would have, like, this lady as his assistant, and she just looked like she came right out of, like, somebody who just came out of methadone clinic. But, you know, you just say, maybe this is Scottsdale. I don't know. So you just.
Not necessarily wrong.
Right. You know, at least he's employing. He got an employee.
What did his house look like?
So never saw his house, but when I, now that Never saw his house, but I did. He did drive us through a project, which was like the $2 billion project. But then it would turn out those people were also scammed by him when the story came out. Okay, so here we are.
Oh, boy.
18 months ago, I had proof of funds. We are on he NDA. He sees the full scope of what we're trying to do. He on board. Mom meet him. My dad like, nah, I'll meet him when it's time to get that check. And we rock out. And so we start going after, how do we get to the, so he says, listen, I want to see you guys put some skin in the game. And initially he wanted like wanted us to show like $3 million. And we like, nah, that's not going to happen. But we feel comfortable at $200,000.
Include allegations of breach of contracts, fraud, deceit, unjust enrichment, and breach of covenant of good faith and fair dealing.
In each case,
to show that was where we fucked up. If anything, we should have gave money to our attorneys to hold on behalf of the transaction and put it in some type of escrow account. But we were trying to prove ourselves because we felt as though he had proved himself. And we don't want to lose the big fish, so acting like we'll have no money. So we put up the money. And we began now moving forward with a whole $195 million transaction. So now we have legal fees that we are paying as we develop term sheets to buy a $195 million company.
Because you found an MSO that you were going to buy.
Yeah, we have 26 stores.
Negotiated it, and you had everything.
Yeah, because they initially wanted $225 million, but that's funny because they recently sold for no money and just stock, I think, $48 million. Mm. Yeah, and they were hard pressed.
Going out of business, yeah.
And they
going
were out of business, hard pressed on that $195. They're like, we go get this out of you, black people. Mm. And so here we are. We're going through the motions. We're also in Vegas, flying there, looking at going through the motions with another company. New Jersey, going through the motions with all of these companies. And now we're thinking we're about to close on this thing because he says, I want you all, bring your team. It's time. Bring your team. So we all fly. I'm sorry. I pay to fly my team out to Arizona. We stay in an Airbnb. And while we're there, we all had a chance to go back to the same office that had still no filing cabinets and no desks and no computers. Everybody's still so happy. I had an itinerary. I had games and, you know, all type of stuff for us to do. Because I don't know what to expect, you know, or to do nothing at all because he had stuff to do. But either way, I was prepared to say we have stuff to do.
I can tell y'all one thing, though, in knowing Jasmine and knowing all of this story, you never going to find a person more prepared than Jasmine. she have her shit tight. Like, it's just the level you have to understand by this point, 6, 7, 8 years working this, had a great mentor. Your parents ain't no slouches.
Oh, no.
The fact that you even have $200,000.
Right.
And the stuff you guys are doing already in South Florida. But Jasmine come with her shit tight. It'd be like, you get a document from Jasmine, you open the shit up digitally, and it's like, layouts, pictures, money, the budget, the deck, like her shit be.
Because laid. I don't really like, you know, be coming at me no questions and I could tell if you read my shit or not. Based off the questions and I don't appreciate it. So, no, we were ready. So, got the itinerary. He had absolutely nothing to discuss. And, you know, at least at minimum, you know, I had the itinerary. We agreed we'd go to STK for the team. That never happened. Never came to Topgolf. It was like, it was a little off, but here,
okay. Out there to hang out, and he didn't show up.
Didn't come with no contracts or nothing. All we did was meet him at his office. But here's where, once again, we thought serendipity happened. The second day we're there, you know, this state that we've been waiting on for 6 years to open. What would be the odds that as we are supposed to be closing with our investor, the state publishes the application? While we are there in Arizona with our investors. So
it's go time.
It's fucking go. And we made it. Just the day before, we were talking about how Florida hasn't opened. And that's why we're acquiring this company for $195 million. And now the second day, while we were at home in the pool enjoying our little team camaraderie, the application post, we're all emotional. And now we're like, okay, we can tell them now, hey, we got 60 days to get this going. Now, this is the cheapest way to enter.
That's
Florida.
What I was going to say. You don't have to buy an MSO now. You're about to just go in.
We were talking about
it. Fun to build, which is a lot cheaper.
Yep. What? We're talking about just the $146,000 fee versus for the $195 million, I think we had to put up a non-refundable deposit of almost $2 million. So we went from $2 million non-refundable to now $146,000 non-refundable.
Which, by the way, Florida... $100,000+ for a light application fee.
I know, that's wild.
Y'all some funny mother. I'm just saying.
It's just as bad as the fucking 30-year requirement.
I'm saying. I know when we talk about the scale of money, that $100,000+ seemed light, right? Seemed real light. But $100,000+, and people in Jersey is fighting to raise $2 million total to build out the whole business. You're talking about $100,000+ to do a piece of paper.
Yep, to apply. And I had to, you know, thank goodness I wrote it myself, because if I had to pay someone to write it, now you're hitting at $500,000 mark. But here we are now, and this is where things started to get interesting. His now job is the funder person is to fund it. So we had intention of going ahead and securing real estate. We're going to represent all of this. Leases. We got the money. We have it. We felt what our application was about to represent in real life, not just, you know, on paper. In real life, we're about to do the full execution strategy and just start building out. Even if it sat there and sold everything but THC, it was going to be ready and we were going to be in place because we got the money. We go buy this real estate. Real estate's going to appreciate. We're good.
Her family know real estate.
Oh, yeah, and we were ready. The real estate play was what we were so most excited outside of the camp. Real estate has been our bread and butter, so we were extremely excited to secure this real estate. And so we 30 days in. We got no coins. And the conversation is going in circles. The teacher got me playing ping pong with the two white men. Ping pong. Just going in circles, but not going straight. So we 45 days in. We ain't got nowhere from the fake meeting we had in Arizona. And so I'm writing the application. Like, I'm writing it on faith. I don't know who go pay this application fee at this point, because we 15 days out from the due date. Like, and we are still at, I can't tell you if he go pay just the application fee. I done said forget the real estate at this point. We can't lock up nothing on that point. But I'm still now putting in, you know, I'm working plan B, C, and D, you know, aligning with the citrus farmers and getting the 40 acres, aligning with the craft grow to get their renderings and get real blueprints. Because, you know, unfortunately, my two white people, you know, ain't really come through in the clutch. So I just really had to do what I had to do. But I found my tribe in the last minute pull that really helped me, like, get those core documents required, like real renderings and plans. You don't want just like a screenshot of a blueprint. You need the mechanical, the plumbing, the electrical. Yeah. You need the SOPs, yep. You know, and I'm finding out the two people I have, I'm like, I thought y'all worked for 119 companies. You don't have real plans of stuff? Okay. So then I end up having to work with people who actually I changed the team now to not people who overseeing people do things. No, we're only working with the people who've done the thing that we're needing to be done. Because the only person who can afford not to really have experience is me, and I can't even afford that.
Right.
So everybody else at this point, what you do when you wake up in the morning? What do you do in the Okay, now we know that this is what you've been doing day to day for the last 5 years. Come on for it. Not someone who's looking at somebody do something, because then no, you don't have plans, you don't have these things because you didn't put it together. You oversaw somebody else put it together. So also learning the difference between like someone who's just kind of overseeing versus someone who can actually do. Yeah, that's a game changer.
Yep.
Like, that's how we would have known we were getting scammed if we just would have took the time to say, what do you think he does from 9 to 5? And if you can't put your hands on what somebody does from 9 to 5, chances are you are what they are doing. You are the meal. Yeah.
That's where the work's going on?
Right.
You are the table. So where did this go left? Because you mentioned a couple times scam, and you're saying that he was a former football player or something?
Oh, yeah. There's a whole movie about this man. So, like, we did our due diligence. And when I tell you it all looked like this man was a billionaire, it looked like he did commercial real estate. It looked, I mean, he had the book, he got the coffee, he got the movie, he got the office with no file cabinets. He like got the cars, the private jet, the security guard. So here we are 15 days out. Where did it go left? I'm 638 pages into an application I've written. Oof. I don't know who's paying this application fee. The man ain't brought one nothing to the table. We ain't even signed a real agreement at this point. We still on our first we still on the MOU from the beginning. Oof. So I'm now 5 days out. At this point, I have an application. And now I have to have a conversation with my parents. He hasn't paid guys yet. Are we really going to like push this to the last minute? Are we doing this? Do I need to go out here and go like do something strange for a little piece of change? Like,
you do a lot of strange for that.
Oh, I got what? I'm from Miami. We look at what energy that is. Yeah. If you know, I got stressed. I got a little big eating my stress away, but I got it. We, you know, something strange for a piece of change. And so, you know, and no, seriously though, because like, do I need to go ask? We all got friends. I can go get this money. And so when I said it to my friend, you know, once I did, and they know me, do I need to go get this money? Because I was determined at this point. So, and you know, I think it, you know, the parent in them came out like, Lord, if we really sent our daughter out here on these streets to go get this money, I would have came back with that money. Now, whose money it would have been?
We don't know.
Right. And so my parents are like, well, we'll go take this gamble. And we go double down. Mm. Now, here is where it went crazy. So now I'm like, boom, we 5 days. My mom booked a flight to go up. Me and my brother go drive up with the application. My niece is in nursing school at FAMU. So we stay in her apartment 3 minutes away from the department to help to submit the application. So still no check from Cameron. Like, we still holding on. We 3 days in from the flight. 2 days in, 1 day, and then they like the day before, they're like, can we see the application? The day before we about to go up there and do it. At this point, it's like, yeah, okay, no, that's not gonna happen. And so
he said that his
no
people?
Yeah, they wanted to see the application. They wanted me to send them the 638 page application.
So
the
everybody day before. Everybody has to understand that application at that point is IP,
right?
It's done and it's mad valuable.
It's big IP. And in probably Florida, that, like she's saying, that's probably worth a half a ticket.
Yeah.
That's $500,000 worth of work.
Yes.
Sitting there that y'all did it on the humbug, on the grind.
Yeah.
The hard way. So someone's saying the day of due time, hey, can I just see the whole application and everything so they can just scribble your name off it and put theirs?
Bugging.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, and not even, because I knew at this point, we passed the wire cutoff. So
no, yeah, the wire not even going to go through that fast. Yeah.
Right, so, and at this point, my parents had said we go ahead and do it. So I stood on a no. Now I'm driving up. And again, we're still not thinking, you know, it's dead. We ain't throwing a baby out with the bathwater. Like, we still go try to make this shit work out. Maybe you need to see us actually win this license. And we can still do what we want to do. Like, all pride aside, all ego aside, I'm not going to, like, kill the relationship because you ain't perform when I wanted you to perform. I'm going to have faith, and I'm going to believe, and I'm going to do all of those horrible things that people in business do not operate off of. You do not just go off the basis of faith and belief. Shit do need to add up.
Thanks.
do man. Not go with, oh, I just believe. That's the number one scammer word. Just believe. Just believe. Just only believe. Okay, that's how he would say that all the time.
Have
you
faith.
Just have faith. You just have to believe. I should have known when he said it like 10, 20 times when he was being scammed, but I learned. So here we go. So now we are in Tallahassee. It was Wednesday. My mom gets there. My brother and I, we drive there. Mom got the cashier's check. You know, I got the IT guy with me because we got to get it on the little file. And, you know, I don't need no problems. We bring the IT man with us just in case, so we make sure it's delivered. And so we were going to submit it Wednesday, but I was like, no, let's all read it one more time. So we sat in a circle, and my niece, shout out to Jada, she marked it up. She made sure, you know, all the grammatical things were fixed, you know, and we did notice a few things, which was funny because I had my two white people read through it, and they didn't seem to notice anything, but one person named misspelled. But other than that, there seemed to be no issues. But we found several issues, so we changed a few things. Boom, got it set up, had my IT guy, finally got it moved over to the drive. And this would have been the first time my mom read the application. And so when we would have dinner.
Wait. So your parents are always hearing you talk about this, but mm-hmm. they don't really know. No.
And they have given me a lot of freedom, which I take it very seriously. They've given me the freedom. They have given me full control over making decisions. Of course, I talk through them because honestly, what I've learned now is I don't want to keep the shit to myself. I knew when shit felt funny, seemed funny, was funny, didn't look right, that I kind of like skewed it so that I could still make sense of why it didn't make sense. And I just kept all that to myself. Versus now, nah. Everybody hear everything. Everybody be a part of the gun. What, did we all just hear that shit? And so it's changed my management style because after we get scammed, how have I changed? And I'm working out. I got to be fighting in the gym because I need to do some boxing because I'm angry. I'm fucking angry like Jennifer Lopez and enough. I'm fucking angry. So I'm boxing and shadow boxing with my trainer. Shout out to him for helping me get the steam off. I'm reading books. I'm like, okay, no, we got to get a freaking master's degree overnight because you clearly lost in the sauce here. So I'm, you know, you're self-correcting, self-discipline.
But when did the scam come
oh,
in?
Oh, no, it's behind the back. So here we go. You're right. Let me go.
So you turn in the application.
Oh, no. We read it. We go have dinner. My mom says, after reading it, you know, she just kind of, I think we can do this ourselves. Like the way we structured it, phase one, phase two, we might be able to do it ourselves. So I hear that. Okay, interesting. Friday, 11:30 a.m., 3 minutes away, go submit it to the Department of Health. I cried. I jumped for joy. I screamed. Here we all are. We made it here 6.5, 7 years later. We submitted that mofo. We got it in. And it was probably the happiest, joyous, like most, I felt so fulfilled. Just even without knowing whether we win or not, just fulfillment and knowing we made it this far and we submitted it and nothing stopped us.
Literally nothing.
Nothing stopped us. And I'm still got in the back of my mind. Once we prove this investor, we got the license, he's gonna put this money up without a doubt. So I'm feeling real confident. So as we drive down, my mom's like, now that she read the application, she's like, you know, let's stop by the Craft Grow that we represented that gave us the renderings. Let's stop by the citrus, the 40 acres. And so she sees now the people and she's like, wait, this is real. And so it's starting to become like, so what do we really need when we need to build this out? I'm like, well, since the grows are cultivations building themselves, you know, we just got to hold down the operation side of things. And so I would then get to my mom's house. So we started out about 11:30. By the time I get to my mom's house, it's like 10:30. And then I would drop my brother off. And then I would finally get home about 11:30. I pull into my parking garage. I open up my Instagram to just take a quick little breather. I've been driving for fucking 12 hours. And I see posted 8 minutes ago from Cameron on Instagram. I'm aware of the hit piece that has been published on me. And I have gotten with my legal team and we're doing a response now. So I screenshot it, I send it to my mom, and I can't get my stuff together quick enough. I'm tripping over myself, and I get into my house, open up my laptop, Google, can't even finish putting in his name, it pop up, Channel 7, Scottsdale, Arizona, 7 minute segment on this man being a fake billionaire, have been sued in 8 states, all in favor of the plaintiff. For like security guards suing him, the graphic designer suing him, like, and then it was the way they told the story. And I don't know if you Google it, you can. It's the way they told the story. It's like, dang, you pissed somebody off, a lot of people off. When you did, because 8.7 million. Here we are, 256,000, 8.7 million. And mind you, this is now 11:30. We have submitted this application.
Damn, you went from
the highest of the high to like, you know, that like the feeling, you know, you about to get a beating, and it's like
in the pit.
What? And it's gonna be a good beating because you know you did some fucked up shit. I felt that. I felt the amount of emotions I went through, which I think the hardest one was when you feel 1,000% right with what you're doing, confident in your choice and your decision. Only to find out I was 1,000% wrong. the belief, all of that, you start to go back to each pivotal moment where it's like, oh my God, it was right.
The rose colored glasses come on.
What? And no, everything fell. And it was like, well, what kind of implication is this for our application? What does this mean for if we are awarded, having to now put a plan together for a new capital option? Like, do we have to sue this man? And now we're going to be subject to a whole lawsuit, losing my parents' money just like that.
Yeah.
The wave of emotions were crazy. So between submitting the application until we got our errors and omissions letter, I actually don't remember any of that time. Like,
it's a blur.
It's a blur. Because I felt horrible.
So what? Where did he get arrested or anything?
No, he's free as a bee.
What's happening?
Well, all them things got to go through the legal process. You're talking about like high level white collar crime.
Yeah. So
you said the feds are involved, right?
Well, so what would happen now? After we get our errors and omissions, which I was so grateful that it was only a birthday that was wrong.
Listen, people don't understand. Getting the errors and omissions, or in Jersey they call it a cure letter, that's a big step.
Yeah,
that means someone has seen at least your stuff and went through it. So you know that's the part people don't get is like, oh, you got errors and omissions. No, that means my application has traction. Someone's actually looking at it, and like you said. Only having you're talking about a 700-page document in totality, and the only thing wrong is a birth date somewhere on it.
Yeah.
That's big.
Yeah. And so once I was able to breathe after we got that back and we were able to cure it and remedy and move forward in the next steps of the process. But here we are now. My mom send the screenshot to Cameron, like, yo, what's this? And we get on the call with him. He say, no, I got some people that, you know, they mad about how a deal went down. And so, again, we still trying to hold on. I know, guys. I know. But I won't say we were trying to hold on. We were trying to more so save face. How do you get your hand out of the lion's mouth? So we said, you know, we hear you, Cameron. But in the meantime, can you go and just send us our $200,000 back while you go through these issues? And we right here. We support you, my brother.
Cameron Colvin's NFL credentials and promises drew Matthew Pearson in.
Extremely charismatic, extremely motivational.
Pearson left his 20-year career with Scottsdale Police to work for Colvin's company, Camco Commercial.
When you meet this Mr. Colvin, he will swoon you.
He was hired as director of security in 2021.
He told you he was a billionaire?
Yes, and that he's got all this money and...
Yeah, no problem. So we spent another $2,600 on preparing a release. And he said he was going to sign it, and he said he was going to send our money back. And so after we spent the money to prepare the release and we preparing this for signature, he still to this day hasn't responded to numerous emails, calls, and text messages. And so, of course, you go through the shame of now the scam sets in. And the deliberate, he would still watch my Instagram but not respond to my texts and emails, calls.
What? Like God. Today?
Yeah.
Like to date?
Yeah.
What up, Cameron? Fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you big time. But you know what was interesting? It's crazy because you would think when you watch the movie and you hear about his upbringing and how, you know, he came from such a traumatic beginning, which is why you want to see it win. And the crazy part is what this cannabis could have did for him with, let's say, all the money that he owed. It could have put him in a position to kind of get out of all of that and be the winner and pretty much savior in someone else's story. But instead, you know, he just he's taking this route. And, you know, you never know who you're really fucking with. And I would put it like it's not where he won't see a day or see his day, but... you know, we have bigger things to catch. And we ultimately would have gave this man 60% of our company, obviously for the 351. But if we would have signed any document with him just for him pretty much giving us our money back to pay the application fee, we would have had an entitlement of 60% to him. Whereas now We are officially our own. There is nobody else. That's just it. Mom, dad, and I appreciate them being in a position to even support something like this, because I know that friends and family raise is really the hardest one. And the fact that we didn't have to take any money from and be obligated to anyone else's interest, I think is the core differentiator in what could possibly be done under our umbrella. And so, yeah, Cameron, he got us on the 250, but what we stand to gain and what I've learned and how I'm shaping myself now as I move forward, I don't want to say I needed that, but it was enough to really change how I deal with things, how I move, and who is a part of what we do now. Like, I'd rather give an opportunity to someone who may not have no experience, but I trust them wholeheartedly. And I trust that you'll figure the shit out.
Yeah.
And you go get it done with excellence and opulence. So, we got, but it made us stronger as a family. My parents were very supportive, even with the loss. I mean, it's not like I took the money out of our account and just sent it, thank God. I mean, I would have done that. Maybe they owe me, but... But I it's a story to tell. It's definitely gonna
That's one for the books, man.
I think the big thing of it is, though, your application is still in.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
still going through the process.
Yep.
And you 100% own it.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's something, obviously, anyone that watches our show knows we preach that. Yep. Me and Eliza is big on, like, you keep it insular, right? You keep the circle small and let everybody have their part. But yeah, at least you're not indebted, which is a big issue. So even for people that actually get licenses and get to open up already, knowing that your contract got that 2-year buyout clause and you're going to get bought out.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, you know what I mean? A lot of y'all's paused right there and was like, let me see my contract. Your shit got it.
Yeah.
Or had to sell your name, or had to give your landlord part of the lease, because that happens.
That's a big one.
You know, or just, you know, all that kind of funny stuff. So I think the biggest thing of it is, at the end of the day, the license application was going to cost what? What is the license application fee?
We spent $148,000 on the application, and then just the audited financials. Outside of all the mistakes I made, the real cost was the application fee and audited financials.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You just paid an extra $100,000 on the application fee, basically. Y'all out $250.
We out $250.
But the reality is $150 of that is the application anyway.
Yeah.
So really, you only got $100.
No. The $200,000.
Oh, it's on top of that.
Yeah, that's on top. The $56,000 was legal fees. And then, remember, I'm still out of the other $35,000 from the first firm that I never learned the original lesson from.
I calculated at about $350.
Yeah, and then just we had consultants. I remember we pretty much paid this guy from New York like $15,000 to come learn our laws, and that's what I was like, you just gotta read.
Yo, we got something like that too. We done hired some folks where it was like, you'd be like, alright, I gotta pay this for an hour, right? But you know, at the end of the hour, you're supposed to tell me all my shit. Yep. So I have my shit right. And then you realize, yeah, we spent 50 minutes of that meeting explaining cannabis to them.
Right. And then they go give me some bullshit-ass interpretation. So once you go, I went through a lot of those. So I would say we probably were out $500,000, and majority of that was on poor decisions. And, you know, I guess I had to get all these lessons to get sharper and sharper and sharper, because I know it's only gonna now be on a different scale. All kind of people are coming at us, but... that's why we're creating a model to kind of shield ourselves from bringing in those relationships too close and letting you kind of fall on your own sword. If you want to become, you know, under our umbrella and sell us product to ourselves under our model, then you'd have to invest in building your own facility and growing your own product and then getting it to us package ready. And that means that you're going to go through a couple failures, but we can't take that risk on you. But you can take that risk on you.
So... do we know when those applications are to be awarded?
It was supposed to be around August, but with the errors and omissions, several groups put in letters to push back the date. And so now we've been told sometime at the end of October or November.
Okay. So we're going to find out soon.
Yeah.
Talking about awarded licenses, I wanted to shout out my brothers, Jeremy Rivera and Cos Marte, getting a license this past week. Yes. That whole battle with New York and the card applicants. And both of them got the stickers to put in that window. And may be open by the time this airs. But no, I just wanted to shout them out. That's big.
Yeah,
if you don't know that fight with New York and these cards spelled C-A-U-R-D applicants, it's a monster.
Yeah. So. Yo, there's a lot of different battles in different states and different places. Cannabis is a really interesting industry, how it's developing, and even to learn so much about the different states. Listen, I hope that at the top of November or whenever it is, how many are they awarding?
22.
Listen, and how many people had the $1.50 to put up?
74.
Damn, that's a lot of people with a lot of money.
But here was the thing. You had to be a registered nursery, and a lot of, you knew immediately who didn't make the cut, because if you compare the published nursery license list with the applicants, several of them were not on there.
Oh, you was doing, yeah. She was like, let me see this shit.
Listen, you're never going to find somebody more prepared than Jasmine. She do her work. That's one thing. If y'all don't take from anything about this, I commend you and your parents. I love your mama. Listen, if you meet Jasmine, you're going to meet her mama. Her mama got to put eyeballs on you, too. She like, come on to breakfast. Come on. We on family vacation. I said, all right, babe, I got to actually run out for breakfast with Jasmine and her mama. That was a beautiful restaurant. But we went to dinner later that night there.
Yeah.
Shooters. Jasmine going to do the work. She going to get the research. She going to find a way. She's one of the most persistent people I know, obviously, and always well organized. She got her shit together. So, you know, when she says she did her due diligence, Cam might be up there with Bernie Madoff, because I saw some of the stuff. She did her due diligence, and I was on one of them calls to put my eyeballs on him too.
Like, he looked legit?
And he's a NFL player, so you're like, there's a seed money for it. Like, all made sense, right? So, but yeah, like, Jasmine going to do her work. She going to have her shit blown out, have all the paperwork, and she ain't scared to get on a plane and fly there either. Yeah. She don't care.
I'll come by myself. You know, I know I got God with me. And that's the part. Like I said, I believe Cameron until he stopped communicating. That's how far I went with it. Even with, you know, because I know people can spin stuff. News can do this, that, and a third. But that's when he officially played his hand. And now that I see it and now that I know it, it's okay. If it can look like this, boy, oh boy, that was some real good. Yeah. That was a good one. That was a good one.
Well, I hope when he hears your name out of that 22, he don't try to double back, because it will be the.
Oh, no, no. Over call here, my baby. Oh, no, please call my phone.
Don't even come over here. Whoa. Don't hit
Florida,
my.
They approach them situation a little different.
I'm gonna stay on my ground.
Remember
that South Park episode where you draw the circle? Probably go west.
Cameron, don't fly to Florida.
Yeah,
so come to Florida.
Stay in Arizona,
stay on in Arizona. But no, we did. We went to the FBI and we turned over everything, because once the news release came over, it was like, oh, this could be happening to people in multiple states. Because as he on Instagram talking about the next thing he's doing, I'm like, it's happening in real time. And so talking with the FBI, they're like, it's probably already something going, an investigation going on if they haven't pulled them. But nope, I'm what?
Wow.
Yeah, because I'm like, to add another lawsuit to it, as there already are lawsuits that are in favor of the plaintiff that said he owes over $8.7 million. All in favor of the plaintiff. Yeah, so we don't think we're going to see that money back, but we are looking towards the future. You know, I have a whole team that is counting on me and my family to keep moving forward. And so he got us, but it didn't knock us down. You know, it just made us a lot stronger, a lot sharper, and, you know.
Good luck to you and Mama and the family.
Thank you.
You know, peace and blessings. And hopefully come November, we had that talk on the phone and about that license, you know.
It's time, y'all. Well, I mean, shoot, that's what, you know, it's like, we can't wait to get the email, the notice of intent to award, because a lot of people will be contacted, and it's time. When you get the call, it's time.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Eliza.
Thank you for being so transparent with your story. And, you know, just I hope y'all learned something. Like, this cannabis process, raising money, like, finding investors, doing pitches, it's really, really difficult. Crazy shit like this happens. I mean, it's tough out here, especially for Black and brown people. So thank you for staying in the fight. And, you know, hopefully, I mean, we're not even going to say hopefully. When you get this license, you're going to definitely change the game. And, you know, I'm just excited to be a friend and be able to witness the journey and see the greatness. And thank you for taking the time to come all the way up here.
Absolutely. I appreciate the platform.
All right. Well, until next time, like, subscribe,
hit
all of
the
that.
Button, ring the bell. Peace.
Coffee and cannabis. Peace.